You know, let's just start without him. Okay, half-hearted clap now, or two-thirds of a clap. Okay, that last clap is covering for Joe because I don't know where he is. Okay, welcome to another episode of the Back of the Shul podcast. Just us. Well, it was supposed to be just us three now, but you know, when you're out of practice, apparently things like starting a computer are you're a little rusty on. So it's just Menachem and I right now. This is a special episode for a couple of reasons. Number one, because when you kind of slack off, every episode is special. And second of all, because, you know, Menachem, we're not posting this on Twitter. We're just, if you're subscribed to us, you'll see this in your feed, or if you're on the WhatsApp, you'll get the link. But we're not posting this on Twitter.
Excited, we're not posting it.
Yeah, we're boycotting Twitter thanks to From Twitter just becoming a town square for virtue signalers. So follow us on From Parler.
Wait, we're not even posting the Mizrach font on Twitter?
Oh no, we're boycotting it. I think From Parler, by the way, is just Bizfluence.
I don't even know what that means.
You don't spend enough time on From LinkedIn. Whoever spends enough time on From LinkedIn is laughing their tuchus off right now.
I've not. I don't think I've ever posted anything or commented or liked anything on LinkedIn ever.
I do like really here and there, like once every 3 months.
Oh wait, we still have Instagram. I think we have
I didn't even touch it. Although, you know what? It's funny they bring that up. You know what I just noticed tonight? I guess my wife, like, somehow, I don't post anything on Instagram, but my wife, like, you know, she's, like most women, likes to scroll through all the Shaitel feeds and designer feeds and free giveaway for the first 750 people that sign up and repost this to 10 other friends or whatever. So apparently she started doing, like, all those giveaways on my account. So I was looking randomly, and I never check Instagram. I really don't. But tonight I just was curious. And I realized I have the creepiest following list because, like, here I am, a guy just, but I'm apparently following like 70 Shaitel accounts and like Kitty Chic.
Wait, now I need a search for you now.
No. I quickly did a mass unfollow. Oh man, this is why I had a marriage tip to you. Keep the passwords to any account separate. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so basically if you're subscribed to our WhatsApp chat or you're subscribed to the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or any wherever you get your podcasts, yeah, you'll see it.
Or if you're one of our 8 Instagram followers, I just checked, we have 8. And okay. Wait, what? One of them is me. Actually, wait, no, these are the following. We follow 8 people. There's 64 people who follow us.
Wow. Listen, we don't...
Look at that.
We are selective in who we follow, so whoever the 8 people are, you should feel honored. We post on Instagram or no?
Hold on, let me... I think so. Oh, yeah, I post the Mizrach font every week.
Okay, nice. That's it. Nice, okay. Well... Eight followers or 64 followers on Instagram aside, we're brought to you by Beyond Premium Kosher Charcuterie, the best kosher charcuterie boards you'll ever have. Check them out on Instagram. Speaking of Instagram, at Beyond Kosher, that's VIANDEKOSHER. I probably didn't need to spell the last half.
Incidentally, we do follow them on Instagram. They're one of the 8 people. So if you follow us, you could go check who we follow.
Whatever. Okay, so yeah, like I said in the open, if you weren't paying attention, it's just Menachem and I right now as Yosef sorts out all his various technical difficulties. It's been a while since we were here. A lot has gone on. Actually, Yosef had a kid, so you guys can all wish him mazel tov. But yeah, what's Menachem? What have you been up to?
I do have some minion updates, and most of them are actually very much minion related, and most of them are complaints. But
we should. Oh well, perfect timing. Isn't it like the Festivus or something like that?
I do think that it was either yesterday or today is the day for airing grievances, so that's good.
But so I mean, we got the airing of grievances, and what's tonight? Like, this is the night that everybody uses as an excuse not to learn?
Pretty much. We should probably tell people that, like, we're recording on Thursday. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming we're going to put this out sometime the beginning of next week.
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, people might need stuff to listen to on a Sarbatavis.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll put it out tomorrow morning. And if you're listening to it on a Sarbatavis, we recorded it last night. And if not, I'm sure you could figure out based on that. So it's mostly complaint. We should really just have a segment where we can air our complaints. But actually, you know what? I feel like that's just the podcast.
Yeah. Forget that.
So I'll start with a good thing that happened to me. So You know how usually when you make a really good yarmulke catch, no one ever sees it?
Oh, yeah.
So normally, like, you'll just be doing something and you slip and yarmulke, like, falls behind you, reach behind, make an amazing catch, and then you look around and nobody saw it.
Right.
But so this time, it wasn't the behind-the-back catch no one will ever see. But this was still a pretty good one. So it was at a kiddush. I was holding a cup in one hand with, I think there was something in it, and then a plate in the other hand. And I tripped over something on the floor, and my yarmulke goes flying forward. And I quickly reach forward with the cup and catch my yarmulke in the cup. It was amazing. Wow. It was great. And I looked around. I was like, there's no way that nobody could have seen this. There's a whole kiddush here. And I look and I see my aunt. She looks at me. She's like, oh, I saw it. I was like, okay, good. At least I got someone.
Yeah, it's true. You know, like what is it? A watched pot never boils. Mm-hmm. So a caught yarmulke is never seen.
Exactly.
I once had a similar story. I was walking down 13th Avenue. That's in Borough Park for all our West Coast listeners. I was walking down 13th Avenue. I had a shopping cart. I think it was in my right hand. And, you know, 13th Avenue gets very crowded, right? So I basically, a woman was walking, like, with her kids towards me. And there was not enough room for me and my shopping bag to pass by. So I whipped it around, like, an around-the-back pass and like, threw it up and caught it, like, swiped at it and caught it with my left hand in one swift motion. And I paused, looked around, and no one on 13th Avenue saw it.
That's annoying. But, I mean, the truth is, it's New York. So, in general, people aren't really looking into what other people are doing. But you would hope that at least one person would see it.
For all you know, like, someone was in their car and was just like, nice. And then the other person in the passenger, she was like, whoa, what just happened? Like, oh, over there. Oh, never mind, you missed it.
Yeah, you can't. You missed it. That's it.
Yeah, you're one of the 99.99% who missed it. But I guess it works both ways. Because if let's say Friday night or even Shabbos morning, like, wherever there's a drasha on Shabbos, so whether it's Friday night or Shabbos morning, so, you know how sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, you know, you fall asleep and...
Yeah.
You do the head shake. Like,
yeah, everyone sees that. Everyone.
I mean, everyone in your head, everybody saw it, including the Rav. He probably is like chortling and struggling to get through the rest of his drasha. But in reality, no one saw it, right? So this is like the mirror image of it, where it's basically the same thing, like, except that here you want everyone to see it. Yeah, whatever. So take a look at the bed.
I did have that, because I used to be very self-conscious if I would accidentally do, like, the slach lanu on Shabbos, or, like, accidentally start taking three steps back and wait, like, no, I wasn't supposed to do that or whatever.
Right.
But then I realized that, like, nobody notices, so then now I don't really. It doesn't really bother me that much. Is Yosef here?
Can you hear
me? Yeah, now we can, yeah. Sort of.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
We'll cut this.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry. I have to get the first one out of the way.
All right. Okay, so Menachem was in the middle of his...
I finished with that. I can move on to the next thing.
Okay.
I mean, it's that was the only good part. Now it's just complaints. Cool. So the first one is this started a little while ago already, and I have not been dominating this minion anymore for a while because of this. But I don't know if this ever happened to you, but there was this minion that I dominated pretty much every day. It was like the right time, right, like close to me. It was just, it was a good minion. And then someone who was an Uvul started davening for the Umud there, and I just can't stand the way he davens. Just his, like, I don't know, tune, voice, attitude. I can't stand it. Drives me insane.
I'm intensely uncomfortable right now.
And it's just, it's terrible. I'm like, there's nothing you could do about it because he's an Uvul, so he has to daven. And you know he's going to be diving there every day. So, like, what do I do? So, eventually, I just had to leave. Like, I can't put myself through that every single day. It's terrible.
I'm very sorry for his loss for you.
Yeah, but as I was saying, that there is a guy that I know who's in Uvul now who I would like to daven where he davens every time, but he doesn't really live near me, but whenever I do daven with him, it's very nice. But unfortunately, I cannot daven in the minion that I like davening because this guy drives me absolutely insane. So there's that.
Well, but, lots of prayers with a faster minion.
Yes. And another, I think I have one more, but this is not, it's not super related, but the next davening complaint I had was that, so today is Thursday, so Monday, a few days ago, I was davening somewhere, not the minion that I would like to daven in, but a different minion, and I was laning there because they just got up and they said, can anyone lane? So I said, sure, so I was laning, and so the end of the second Aliyah is the last three words are Ace Divrei Adoni.
Mm-hmm.
So I said that, and then it's like the end of the Aliyah. So that's it. I'm finished. And then, like, the guy isn't making the bracha. I'm just looking at him. He's like, S. I'm like,
mm-mm.
Dude, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, first of all, like,
not a correction.
The problem was I didn't have the sitter there in front of me, so I couldn't, like, show him, but I'm thinking in my head, first of all, I'm pretty sure it's Ace. That's first of all. And second of all, who cares? It doesn't matter.
Oh,
like,
my God.
The Aliyah's finished. Like, what are you doing?
You could almost say that if you know, we missed this on our list, but if you correct the Balkyrie, if you correct the Balkyrie, and are wrong about your correction, check your list.
Even if you're right. I mean, in this case, he was wrong. But even if you're right, oh my god, this is check your list.
If you're right, I think it was mentioned correcting the Balkyrie for something that doesn't matter, which would be an S8.
Right, but this is taking it to another level.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're wrong, that's like a whole nother thing. But so this was double. So first of all, I'm saying you're wrong. And second of all, even if you're right, then it doesn't matter. It's S and Ace. It's the same thing. So, but I didn't say anything then. I just, like, stared at him like he's insane. And then eventually he just made the bracha. But then afterwards, I didn't want to say anything right then because I was pretty sure I was right, but I wasn't 100% sure. So after laning, I looked in the sitter. I was like, yeah, it's Ace. I knew it was Ace. So I went over to him. I just pointed it. It's like, yeah, whatever. And then afterwards I felt bad. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I probably shouldn't have done that, but
it felt good
at the time. So.
Yeah, for sure. That's a mic drop moment. No, by the way, the way you know it is because you had a trup on that word. So that's how you know it's Ace. So
yeah, it was like I was so sure that I was right, but like in the back of my mind, it's, well, maybe. So I didn't want to say anything, just like...
You sounded like Louis C.K. there.
That's a very good segment, in case anyone wants to look it up. But maybe.
Of course, but maybe.
Of course, but maybe.
of course. Peanut butter. Kids with peanut butter allergies. Giving them peanut butter is bad.
But maybe. If we got rid of all of them, then we wouldn't have the issue. My last thing is actually from a tweet that is from like August, actually. I've been meaning to discuss it for a while. It just hasn't been gotten around to it. It's just been like some save that I just wanted to talk about.
You might as well bring it up now because, you know, we're boycotting Twitter.
Oh, that's true. So yeah, because I haven't really looked at anything since then. But no, it's been a while. But so it was when we were discussing Shul Jerks, I think. Mm-hmm. So some guy, let me shout him out. His name on Twitter is Sushi Macher.
Wonder what he does.
I don't know.
Is this Menachem's burner account? Be.
Well,
or it's your father.
No, the guy has a picture. So. And his bio is minor internet celebrity. So,
oh, I was gonna say, okay, really niche joke for the the overlap between part of my take and back of the shul. Those are perfectly normally sized rolls. Find a new plant.
Right. So his tweet was, when we were discussing the shul jerks, he said, "You also forgot shul pushka holder during Ashrei, who won't let you finish one Esrei unless you put a dollar in, just to shame you for coming late."
Very true.
So this is something, it's not like exactly this, but it reminded me of something that's been bothering me for a while, because I feel like during davening is just really not the best time for this, because I feel like, first of all, during davening you should really be kind of focused on davening, but besides for that, like, aren't you supposed to like wash your hands and stuff after you touch money? Like, you're not really supposed to be touching money and then davening.
I think it's only if it's larger bills. Only ballers get to wash their hands.
I don't know. It's just the truth is, for me personally, I'm not really so careful about that. Like, I know I touch my hair and stuff like that, and then I'll just rub my hand against like the bottom of the table or whatever. So it's like I'm not giving tzedakah because like, oh, I can't do that. So I still give to whoever comes or whatever. But like, it just always bothered me. Like, why is this a thing? Like, why can't you just wait till after davening? Why does it have to be in the middle of davening? Right? And it's accepted. That's the thing.
You would do well at the Avos, Menachem.
Why?
They have signs banning people from collecting during davening.
I mean, I've been to shuls that had that.
Most shuls have that.
And it's not like people listen to it. They just.
Yeah, but do most shuls have it in English, Hebrew, and Russian?
You make a good point. But.
Yeah, you always see the backwards R or H or K or whatever it is on all these signs.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's one of those things that it's always bothered me somewhat, but I've never, like, what are you going to do? It is what it is.
Menachem, I heard that laugh. I guess he saw my joke on the chat.
Yeah. Another thing that really annoys me, like, there's certain times in life where I'm just, there's something that I'll see or some situation that I'll be in, and it's just bothers me. It's a little stupid thing, but it bothers me immensely. It's the hangers that are attached to the pole. It's like you can't take them off, put your coat on and put it on. Lord, and especially when they're just like a little bit too high, and I'm not the tallest person. And it's just incredibly annoying. And it's a little thing, but it annoys me so much. I have a lot of those things. I'm not going to list all of them now, but that is one that just came up this past Shabbos, and it annoys me immensely.
For sure. Yeah, that.
I can respect that.
Okay, so. So
my minion update happened on Zeis Chanukah. We were davening Maariv, you know, the night before, and we finish davening. I was davening the Chassidish minyan, and we finish davening, and everybody goes Avreil Chanukah, and the Rebbe goes a Gutiyar, a Gemar Chasima Toiva, and I was like, wait a second, oh right, Zeis Chanukah. In my head, I was like, you know, before Hasidim, there was never a Zeis Chanukah was never a thing, right? So my question is, what comes next? I don't think it was a thing. I feel like Zeis Chanukah is only a big thing by Hasidim. So my question is, what's next? So I was thinking maybe I'll start just greeting people with a Gemar Chasima Teva on like Tainus Esther or something. You know, get ahead of the curve, and whenever the next thing comes around, or maybe I'll be the starter of the next thing. Whenever the next thing comes around, I think I'll just start greeting people like that.
So you're squatting on that greeting right now.
There's something coming. It has to happen at some point, right? Meaning we went from, I'm sure it used to be a thing like, oh yeah, Rosh Hashanah, right? Ksiva Chasima Teva. Oh, Yom Kippur, Gemar Chasima Teva. And people are like, all right, you know what? We need another one. Hashanah Rabbah, good. All right, Zeis Chanukah, good. All right, so Tainus Esther, I think, is the next one.
I feel like all
line.
These are brought down, because I remember hearing this all through high school. It's like, oh, Rosh Hashanah is your last chance to do tshuva. And then, wait, oh, you have Yom Kippur. And wait, oh, you have Hashanah Rabbah also. And then just keeps going until
Chanukah. Menachem, if I told you that Tainus, it was brought down somewhere, that Tainus Esther was the next thing, nobody's contradicting me.
I mean, I just don't think anyone will care to like think about it. But.
Well, we have a lot of Chassidish listeners, so they can tell us if that's a thing.
It's true. Yeah, you could.
Yeah, I was just happy you didn't launch into the Shana Taiva Tika Seva.
I'm very glad you brought that up, because I had this thought yesterday, and I have this thought literally every single year around, like, you know, the Christmas New Year's time. So, you know, it'd be really fun. You know how you have around Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, right? All the non-Jewish businesses and politicians, right? They all do their form of from our family to yours. We wish you a happy, sweet New Year. You know, in every newspaper and magazine, or like, and you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like when you have, the real savvy ones, the real marketing savvy ones, you know, they do their like bagel and lox Jewish pun. Something like, at TD Bank, we have some sweet interest rates. You know, from our family to yours, we wish you a sweet New Year. So what if Heimish businesses did that to non-Jews, like around Christmas time and New Year?
I feel like they do.
No. I'm talking about going all in. Like if Weiss's Bakery in Borough Park, right, said something like, sweet cheeses, our Danishes will make you merry. Wishing you a happy birth of Christ and Merry Christmas.
It would be pretty funny.
Oh, it'd be hilarious. Like if you know, instead of like the Catholic Church wishing us a happy sweet New Year, like, I don't know, Landau wished everyone a Merry Christmas.
It's not just hopping on the trolley that'll make you jolly this holiday season.
Santa Manta, 50% off on Fanta.
not bad.
Oh man, I just think it would be so funny, and then you could even have it in Yiddish, like in the blot.
Wait, but what would, I guess Santa's Hasidus would be the Santa Claus?
Yeah. I don't know, I just every year I think of that, like what would be like the I don't know, you have also like the 22-year-old nursing home administrators doing their just doing their little LinkedIn videos.
Where's AY?
Talking about the birth of Christ. The birth of Kratzmach.
By the way, one of them definitely did wish their staff a Merry Christmas.
One of them, all of them.
Oh man, you know it'd be really funny if you brought like the Yeshivish and nursing home administrator guy into like the tech world. You know, like the hipster tech world, and pair him with like a 22-year-old nursing home administrator personality, like a from guy.
I think Shlomo's gonna pitch this to someone. I'm not sure who, as a TV show, the new quirky.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd have to be some like yeshiva should take on Odd Couple.
I feel like all of these things would be
Reuven and Shimon.
Yisachar and Zvon.
Oh, that'd be great. Like he is
a prim and proper businessman. He is a slovenly bucher.
I feel like these things could be very popular in the from community, but like, literally nobody else will even begin to understand it.
But. By the way, another thought that I had in terms of, I guess this is more of a Schmidt-Esser thought, I don't know. Are we still doing categories? Like, do people get the show by now, right?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think we didn't really prepare anything for this episode. So you could call it whatever you want. It doesn't really matter.
That's not true, Menachem. You've been compiling a list for about, when was the last time
we... I don't mean that, like, I didn't have stuff that I wanted to talk about. I'm just saying we didn't set up and say, like, okay, I have a Shimon Esrei thought, or I have this. It was just kind of what it hasn't been an episode in a while, so let's just do something, and Shlomo wasn't interested in doing a guest, so...
Yeah, Menachem, tell yourself that, but a little behind the scenes, Menachem's like, I have a lot of things to complain about. Can we do an episode?
100%. I wanted to do an episode because I have a lot of things I need to complain about.
And that was just 5 minutes after the last one posted.
That what?
I said you texted us that 5 minutes after the last one posted.
not quite, but I always have a lot of things to complain about. Oh, you know, another thing that happens to me a lot. Do either of you guys have the cars with the keyless thing, like the button?
Not anymore.
You used to, and now you don't.
No, I don't.
Yeah, because they were charging another like 20 a month for keyless, and it's like, you know what? It's not worth 20 a month.
Okay. I mean, so do you know how they have the button on the door that you could press when you want to lock or unlock it?
Yeah.
So in my car, I would say probably around 60 to 70% of the time that I come back to my car and press the button to unlock the car, it ends up locking it, which means that it was unlocked the whole time. So it was just a thing that I just wanted to mention that happens. I was just curious that if it happened to you guys or if it happened to other people also.
Do you still keep like $1,000 in your car every day?
It's funny because I know that you're joking because we didn't mention this. I'm pretty sure there's no way I would have told you, but there was a point where I did happen to have a lot of cash in my car.
For real? I was just kidding.
I know you were kidding, but like, there was a point where I did. I'm like, I probably should remember to lock my car. But so if I remember, then I'll keep doing it because I'll just be like, oh, maybe I didn't. But most of the time, I just don't even think about it. I just assume that I locked it in my head, and then I come back. I'm like, I go to the grocery store, I have like shopping bags in my hand, like pressing the buttons, like locked. I'm like, oh, right. I need to unlock it again. I need to like press it twice so that the back door unlocks, I can put the bags in.
It's such a humiliating feeling. It, you know, it's like being scolded by your car.
Yeah.
Like when the first time you press it. And it's like,
you know, well, maybe if you would have remembered to lock me the first time, then I would have unlocked this time. All right. Yeah.
It's like a passive aggressive.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say that exact thing. It's like passive aggressively being like, well
you know, I was open.
Yeah. You don't have to press the button, you could have just opened the door. Because, you know why? You didn't lock it the first time.
Yeah. I've actually had my car broken into.
I don't think I have. It's possible that I had and they took stuff and I didn't even notice because I have a lot of
You know what? I'll tell you a quick, quick funny story. So, basically, my car got broken into. I had come back from Lakewood. This is like 3 in the morning on a Motzei Shabbos. Maybe 3:30. I don't know. Yeah, 3:30. I went to a 7 o'clock minion the next morning. So this happened in a very short time span, right?
I mean, I feel like most car thefts probably happen within that time frame anyow.
But yeah, well, they didn't exactly need like.
I'm not speaking from personal experience. So.
Well, okay, so here's what it was. I didn't have anything of value. It happens to be that like I'm obsessive in terms of checking like if I have my phone on me, my keys on me. It happened to be that night.
You know, somehow that really surprised me.
Yeah. So that night, I just didn't. I got home too late, and I left my phone in the car. It got stolen, whatever. So my
you
phone
left
got
your phone in the car.
I guess I forgot. I forgot it in the car.
Menachem, pre-smartphone, so he didn't have to check his phone. Yeah.
If it's a flip phone, that's understandable. A smartphone, yeah. I feel like you would notice pretty quickly.
This was back in 2012 or 13. Probably 2013, yeah. So I had two items that I always had available in the car, you know, whereas my phone, and also I had this like nice pair of sunglasses, right? Or at least that I thought was nice. Basically, the next morning I wake up, my phone's gone. They left the sunglasses there. I was like, I was asking the cop, like I legit asked the cop, like, you sure they didn't take the sunglasses? Would you take them?
I was like, do you like them? Do you think they're nice? I don't know. I thought they were nice.
How much would you risk for these?
It's like, if you were breaking into a car, would you take them?
Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, I think that's all my complaining for today. I think I'm done.
If we don't have anything else, let's get to the Mizrachon. Generally, we try to do Mizrachons that are like somewhat related to, I don't know, whether it's the something seasonal or something related to the guest. I don't think this one qualifies. Menachem, how would you tie in the Mizrachvant of Jewish smells to anything?
I feel like I had a way when we were discussing this, but then I forgot. Maybe because like Corona and some people can't smell. It was a very tenuous connection at best.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that's in bad taste, but then again, you just, you know, whine about Avalim taking too long. So,
yeah.
Shlomo, I don't know if you realize what you did there, but you said it's in bad taste.
Yeah, I was wondering if you did that on purpose.
I wish I could say that I did, but good catch. Joe always catches the accidental dad jokes.
You could pretend it was on purpose.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so what we have is the Mizrachvant of Jewish smells. It's exactly what it sounds like.
It is what it is. It's self-explanatory, and everyone could decide how they want to.
Okay, so who goes first? I don't...
So I think last time was Yosef, me, then you. So now would be me. It's me, Shlomo, Yosef. That's the order.
Got it.
Okay, so... For my first pick, I don't think this is going to be very fair. Okay. So you could tell me if I'm being unfair taking this, but I just want to say Shabbos.
I didn't
think you were going to let that.
No, absolutely so not.
Instead, I will go.
Okay, but here's the thing, Shlomo, although I agree with you that it's a disqualified choice, we all know exactly what Menachem was just saying.
Of course, but no, but there's different components.
It's not fair. I understand what you're saying. Like, I think we all understand what I'm saying when I say that, but it's just not fair because there's too many things involved that go into the Shabbos smell.
On my list, I have two or three. I have at least two just related to Shabbos. So, yeah.
So that's the problem. So I'm going to go with the challenge. Specifically Friday night, the way the challenge smells cooking Friday night. That's going to be my number one.
I have on my list, I can't really take it now, was challenge Shabbos morning.
No, I think the challenge Friday night smells way better than Shabbos morning.
Okay, I'm going to be the split the difference here. Yes, the smell of the challenge on Friday night is better, but there is nothing quite like where you're not sure if there's going to be a kiddush and shul the next day. Mm-hmm. And you walk into shul and you smell the challah. That is
that's
the best
fair. But I feel like you would have already smelled it Friday night.
No, because sometimes it can be
maybe not. You have to remember those catered challahs are notoriously difficult to pin down.
True. So that's a very good one. Okay, for me, I'm gonna go with possibly spoiled Chalav Yisrael milk.
That is, by the way, that is a quintessential yeshivish smell as well.
Yeah,
and that's the problem is you can't smell Chalav Yisrael milk because whenever you smell it, it's gonna smell at least a little bit spoiled.
Oh, I mean, it's borderline ammonia.
And you can't because you only smell it when you think it's going bad. So then you just think it is, but like that's just the way it always smells. You just don't know if it's bad or not. It's always teetering on the edge.
Right. Right. Yeah. And obviously, you know, if it's within 3 days of the expiration date, meaning 3 days prior to the expiration date, you already know it's spoiled. But I'm talking about this, like, possibly spoiled when you buy it on Sunday, right, and Sunday night, you want to know if it's still good.
Also, because of the whole food boxes thing, now the dates are really messed up because everyone has just been getting them and keeping them in the freezer. So you have milk now.
They don't last, by the way. We started at the beginning of this. So, like, we did that and put like 6 in the freezer and 5 out of the 6 were spoiled.
Really? Maybe you just don't have a very good freezer.
I don't know.
It could also be the boxes were sitting out in the sun for hours.
Yeah, the distribution was alleged. I mean, whatever. Okay, never mind.
I don't know. I mean, I just had one that had a November expiration date that seemed fine. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever.
Joe.
I'm gonna go with 2 kind of yeshiva / shul centric ones. The first one is the coffee room smell.
Yes.
It's a combination of a semi-broken / burnt hot water heater, the spoiled Chalav Yisrael milk that Shlomo was talking about, garbage instant coffee.
And a little
bit
of the Reisman danishes.
Yes, and also an somehow unlabeled packet of creamer.
Right.
It's a very important addition to the smell. So I think that's that one. And then the smell of, and this is going to sound so cheesy, but the smell of svarim.
I thought I was going to be able to get that in the later rounds. That's a great one.
So I have actually a very interesting story about this because I went to a yeshiva where they rearranged how things were set up for a while. So they had a room that was the library / storage for extra svarim and stuff like that, that they eventually turned into a recreation room. They had a pool table and that kind of stuff. I walked in the first time and I was like, did they store, I walked in and I said, did they store svarim in here at some point? The room still smelled like svarim even after no svarim were in there.
So it's a very distinctive smell. You're talking about old svarim.
It's not necessarily even old svarim. It's the smell of svarim. They have a very distinctive smell.
My pick was going to be specifically a new Gemara. Like, when you come in and you get, like, at the beginning of the year, you get that new, like, Ozva Hadar Gemara, and you open it and smell it.
Nah, Menachem, you're already behind the times. You clearly haven't been in yeshiva. Now it's the Masista.
But I feel like if you use, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just because I've been out of the game, but I feel like using the Masifta has to be viewed a little bit as like, this guy needs a Masifta.
100%, 100%. I mean, this is even like 10 years ago. I remember like Masifta. Yeah, he's cheating, and I'm like,
right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if it changed, but like from what I remember, it was like, oh, he's using a Masifta.
I hate to say it, but the Masifta is the Myra Heter version of Art Scroll.
Is that what it is?
Or is it a gateway?
But I had it way worse. When I was in sixth grade, that was when the Tovia's Gemara with punctuation came out.
What?
I never heard of that. I still have the Gemara.
It's the regular Gemara just with Nekudos?
Yeah. But no, not only Nekudos, like periods, exclamation points, question marks.
But it otherwise looks like a regular Gemara, like the pages.
The Tzuras Hadaf is exactly the same as it normally is.
Very weird.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I think they only made a couple of Masechta's worth of it, and then
I would imagine. I can't see anyone like you would have to feel like a child walk. Like it's worse. It's worse than. I mean,
Not necessarily. There actually was a kid in my class in elementary school who had one of those. So Joe, it couldn't have been in sixth grade. There was someone in elementary school who had it, and I remember thinking like, this is the guy. You know,
maybe in sixth grade maybe, but if if you're in base medrash and someone walks in with that Gemara, you can't tell me you're not thinking like,
yeah.
What's he doing?
You know what the equivalent might be? Like you have a minion in your house and you don't have enough Siddurim for everyone, so you have to give one person the little kid sitter with like the illustrations.
You know what it's like? is you go bowling with a whole bunch of your friends and one of them puts up the bumpers. That's what it's like.
Yeah. By the way, you know that, like those Matze Shabbos, you know, house marav minyanim, you know, yeah, like when you get the sitter and it's like his 8-year-old daughter sitter, and you kind of feel like you're just like intruding a little bit. It's like, this is you know, Miriam Bracha's sitter.
With like, all the like inserts and
yeah, you know, oh no, that's if you get his seminary or post seminary daughter's sitter, and then it like immediately shifts into like this filing cabinet worth of post-its and who knows what.
Yeah, then you definitely feel like you're invading someone's.
Yeah, it's like, you know what, I didn't need to see this. You know, I feel like I just got the scoop on way too much.
I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. Okay. So my next pick, and I'm taking it now because I'm worried that Menachem might take it, is old talus smell.
Oh yeah. That's a bad smell.
It's a Jewish smell.
Right. I was not taking that, but I definitely agree. That's a very bad smell. Like when you're davening for the Amud in Shul and you have to wear one of those. That's a disgusting.
Oh, it's brutal. Like all of a sudden, yeah, that's when you're like, I wish this place would daven this Sfarad so I don't have to wear this.
I mean, conversely,
I daven this Sfarad, by the way, for all the Chassidish listeners. Oh, yeah, sorry, what?
Conversely, the new Talasim are great. Yet you walk in, you just like pick it up and like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah. Take it for a spin. A literal spin, I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
All Kriya is just staring at you. It's S.
Like, sir, this is a Wendy's.
Hey, yeah. It's Ace, you... And then a nice new talus twirl. Walk away.
Slap him across the face with a tzitzis.
And the kid goes off the derech. It started then. Okay, yeah. No, you're next.
Okay, so my next pick is going to be an Esrog.
Okay, I had that also.
Yeah, that is one of the great smells. And it's very, I don't know what the word is. It's you, when you smell it, you like feel like you're in Shul on Sukkis, like shaking the lulav of an Esrog. It's one of those, I mean, I think they say smell is like one of the things that's like jogs your memory the most or whatever. I don't, there's some, probably some
it's audio term, but yeah.
Sense memory.
Yeah. I don't know, whatever, but it's very,
no, that's actually true. Wait, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. This says quota exceeded error. You have run out of free disk space to save a local backup of the state. I recommend you stop recording and clear some disk space.
Thank you.
Are you still going to get it? Like, do I need to store it here?
It's only really as a backup.
Okay.
So technically it's in the cloud already. Yeah, we'll take our chances.
Okay. Hopefully this is fine. Yeah. Whatever, we'll cut it.
Worst comes to worst, I may have a shot at actually winning a midget one.
Well, we're not Yosef, you missed it. We're boycotting Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're not posting this on Twitter.
Yeah, but you're still posting it on WhatsApp, so...
Yeah, we're not having our intern tally the responses.
Right.
Penny's going to be so upset.
Okay, well, either way, after we cut all of that, my next pick... Yeah, we're definitely not getting that. So, my next pick, going off of the Shabbos theme, is challah. Just some freshly baked challah.
Good one.
That is definitely a smell that I don't think you can ever, like, if you're not Jewish, I don't care how much freshly baked bread you smell, you're never going to smell freshly baked challah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. I'm not sure if I should go with like the typical one or like, I don't know, the more unique one. Okay, I'll go with the more unique one. Okay, along with the Shabbos theme and even the Friday night theme, the Friday night shul smell. When you come in and you smell all that cleaning product, you know, that was just right. Finished, and you know going in whether Shabbos is at 4:15 or 8:15, you know that if that once you smell that smell, it's like, if I sit down, there's a 100% chance I'm asleep.
Definitely. Right. I can't remember the last time there's I also like fall the, asleep during a rabbi's speech Friday night.
There's also like the subtle vacuum smell somehow.
If the show's carpeted, yeah.
Right. It's just I don't know how a vacuum has a smell, but it does.
Oh yeah, it definitely does.
But yeah, that's a good one. And so I'm gonna go with. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. I'm gonna go with kind of the opposite. So you know how on it happens to be it applies to Tisha B'Av more than any other day, but on all fast days there's that subtle sweat smell.
Yeah.
Whereas like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur you get like a serious sweat smell, but on fast days somehow you get like that it's more of a subtle sweat smell in shul because everybody's sitting down, standing up, pacing. So,
I don't know if it's all fast days. I think it's specifically like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. You can't really wash your hands and whatever.
Right. My official entry is Tisha B'Av's subtle sweat smell. Yeah,
I would agree with that. There's definitely that sweat smell.
Yeah, and then my last one, I'm gonna go with the incredibly over-chlorinated mikvah smell.
That was
on my list.
That is a very good one. I'm surprised it lasted this long.
Yeah. And by the way, some of us have experienced this. I don't know if everybody did, and our Hasidic listeners definitely did not. But when you're the first person in a mikvah that day, that smell is the chemicals will kill you.
I think you're conflating time of day versus the idea of being first, meaning you can have someone waking up at 9:30 and still being the first. You're just talking about being there at 4:15 in the morning.
That's true. That's a good point. No, I'm talking about just being the first person into the mikvah. So
I'm saying a chusid has to be first, like one of the chasidim. They can't all be late because someone has to be first.
That's a good point.
Yes, someone has to be the first.
I apologize to any of our chasidish listeners who were first to the mikvah.
Oh man, no, that's a good one. That's a good one. It's not just the smell of chlorine, right? Or the like all those chemicals. It's also especially if you're like someone like myself, where you're a high holiday Jew when it comes to the mikvah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Yep. Right?
I only do Yom Kippur.
Yeah, so it's also the smell of pure terror,
right?
Yes,
mixed with rubber matting and mildewy towels.
It's like you start playing in your head like, oh my god, all the stories I've heard. Oh my god, this is going to be terrible.
Yes, that is definitely very accurate.
And the Sunday night football recap music starts playing as you map out exactly what you're going to do. I'm going to go here. I'm going to look down. I'm going to wrap the towel.
You need a game plan. If you're one of the Yom Kippur mikvah guys, you always have a game plan. You're not going in and just being like, yeah, whatever, I'll figure it out. It's like, no, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go there, get to the shower, go there, put my towel there.
Intense eye-to-eye contact.
Yes, no looking down.
Okay.
And then the towel drop is very important also.
All right, Joe, now we're getting into back of the shul. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
Okay, right. I'm debating between two cliched ones, but it has to be on here. I would say besamim, because that's literally right, like the smell. However, some people, you have the weirdos that do the cinnamon.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that halakhically it doesn't really matter, but it's just one of those things that I just feel like, I don't know, just do the besamim, do the cloves. That's what everyone does. Don't be weird.
Oh, by the way, yeah, okay, you touched on a nerve, because everybody does the whole, wine in the pockets thing. Yeah, whatever it is after Havdalah. These segulas, these supposed segulas, like they are, who they're started by. Okay, so that one was started by a dry cleaners. They wanted, like, it's guaranteed parnasa. Like, oh, it's a segula for parnasa. No, it's a segula for parnasa for you, because they're pouring wine in their pockets voluntarily.
I mean, I don't think anyone, like, puts it in. It's like, whatever, you do the head first, so you make sure to get all of it off, and then you just, whatever, do a little one in the pocket.
Okay, you don't realize, but you're staining your collar when you do it on the eyes or the head or whatever it is.
I don't know how much you're putting on your head.
Oh, I don't do
but
it.
But it's like a drop. like you're literally like a drop. You're not staining anything.
All it takes is one. I'm telling you, the filling up the grape juice cup all the way. You know, the becher, filling up the becher rather. You know, with the wine all the way to the top.
I'm saying these aren't like skulas. These are just things that like people do, so you do it. Like just don't ask questions. No. Just do it.
It's a skula for Parnas. It wasn't. It was like Royal Wine decided that would be a good marketing. So they told everybody that it's a good segula.
I don't know. I'm sure there's – I feel like there's definitely some sort of basis for the overflowing cup thing. I don't know. I never looked into it because, honestly, I just don't really care. Like, it's not –
I think the water thing is
– I don't care. Like, who cares? If you want to – just do it. Like, everyone does it. Just do it. It's not worth – this isn't one of those things that is I'm just saying, like, you don't need to be different. Just, like, everyone's doing it, just do it. There's no reason to try to, well, I don't want to do it, so just do it.
So could I take Besamim, even though there's two, like, different types? I don't mind, because I have another one.
Yes, you can take Besamim. I allow it.
Okay, fine. All right, Menachem, your last one.
Okay, so I'm trying to decide between two. One is very Jewish, but it's also very bad. One is very good, but it's not like super Jewish. But I think I'm gonna go with the good one because I think all of mine have been good, so I'm just gonna stick with the good smells. But it's the Motzei Pesach pizza.
So I debated that one also, and I actually find it a little depressing.
What?
I don't know.
How is it depressing?
I don't know. It's like I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't explain it.
Interesting. I don't know.
I don't know if I agree with that. With that meaning that it's depressing. I don't know if it's like a top Jewish.
Yeah. No. I definitely agree that it's not like that's what I was saying. This is because I had one that was a big Jewish smell, but it wasn't good. This one's good, but it's not like a top Jewish smell. It just happens to be a Jewish smell that's good. I mean,
because like if you eat gebratz, right? I mean.
No,
you have what's it called? You have matzah pizza.
Matzah pizza is not the same.
No. But we're not talking about taste here. We're talking about smell. And it's melted cheese, tomato sauce.
It definitely does not.
It doesn't smell the same, but it's close enough.
I disagree. I think the Motzei Pesach pizza smell is definitely very distinct from any matzah pizza or any other pizza throughout the year. It's very different.
All right, I hear that. Okay, Menachem, any honorable mentions?
So I'll tell you the one that I was going to do, which is it's very possibly the worst Judaism smell, except for Ishpish. I don't know if you were in Israel, if you know who that is, but that is probably the worst Jewish smell, but maybe the second worst is Challah Shudas. Just yes. The smell of Challah, the somewhat a little bit almost expired tuna fish. The somewhat congealed herring, the stale challah rolls, just everything involved in it is just
the
absolute.
The very important addition is the half-opened bottles of soda. Right.
It's just everything combined in it is just not good.
I think what we've come out with here is that Jews are not very good at keeping food fresh.
Oh yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. But
wait, Menachem, also, do you think that the Musa Shabbos Marib smell? Like, is that...
That is a carryover from Challah Shudas.
Because it's Challah Shudas.
By the way, also, Shlomo, that might be a worse sound than it is
no,
a smell.
No, I'm not talking about, flatulence. No, I'm talking about just the general... It's basically Challah Shudas, but left out.
Meaning right.
The Challah
Shudas... I consider that a carryover from Challah Shudas. It's all part of the Challah Shudas smell. But I feel like you even if there isn't Challah Shudas in the room where they were davening Marib, like even if not even in the same building, you still smell that when you go to daven Motzei Shabbos. It's probably one of those. Psychological stuff.
But. Yeah, if you go to any firm person, you're like you just say the words Challah Shudas smell, they know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, I mean the explanation was not necessary, but I felt like just giving it.
Right.
Anyway, but like everyone knows what I meant when I said. And so there's one more. This was just more of a just tongue in cheek one, but the smell of money.
Wow, he's shedding all stereotypes. Oh, okay, yeah. So I have, okay, so I said the Matzah Shabbos Maariv smell. Jewish supermarket smell. It's different, meaning when you walk into...
It's definitely different.
When you walk into an, like, I'm in Muncie, so, like, when you walk into an Evergreen, per se, versus walking into a ShopRite, like, ShopRite, you can smell the Karen there. Like, it's there. Like, it's in the air. Like, Evergreen, it's just, I don't know, it's just more pleasant.
You smell the Shabbos food, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just a lack of seafood. Seafood smells.
I don't know.
I feel like when I walk into ShopRite, I don't smell. I smell.
Now you'll pay attention.
I smell like cleanliness, I guess. It's more of like a factory type smell. Industrial smell.
By the way, there is one notable exception to the ShopRite thing. The ShopRite on McDonald Avenue in Brooklyn, that's not a place where Karens would go.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever been to that one.
Oh, okay. Well, for our Flatbush and Borough Park listeners. Okay, yeah. What else do I have? Tefillin. The smell of tefillin.
Ooh, that is a really good one.
Yeah, that's what I was debating. If I didn't go with the besom, I was debating between besom and tefillin. And I think... our Rebbe's house.
So I'm gonna slide in right there because the Rebbe's house is a combination of a bunch of the ones that we've said already, which is like the svarim and the coffee, and then it's also the smell of a hidden cigarette.
Oof.
I think that's an important one.
I don't know.
The smell of Bahram's puke on Purim.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then my last one, which is my absolute favorite one, which is the pre-bris smell. So when you walk into shul and there's going to be a bris in shul and you smell the fresh
I know what you're talking about. Yes. That is actually you smell like the eggs.
No, it smells like no tachnan.
Yeah. You could bottle that and sell that.
What did you say, Shlomo?
I said it smells like no tachnan. That's what it smells like.
Oh, gosh, I don't like speaking of making, like, psychological connections, that's definitely there.
Yeah. I don't mean to like insult Baltimore at all. Actually, I'm not. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, you do mean to insult Baltimore. So okay, do it.
So I went. We were in Baltimore. I think my wife had an interview at university.
So I'm just going to stop you for one second, Menachem. You saw how difficult it was to get someone to keep going.
Oh yeah,
going
definitely.
On that?
It was like pulling teeth.
Yeah. So I don't mean to insult any of our Baltimore listeners.
Means to insult Baltimore as a whole. If you're a listener, he's not insulting you. He's insulting everybody else.
Exactly. Everybody. You would never do something like that. No, it happens to be, I was there, I was only there for like a 24-hour period. And I went to Shachar's, all our Baltimore listeners, you'll remind me, it's a main shul. It's on, what's the main drag there? Greenspring?
Shomrei,
yes. Shomrei. What do you call it? So it was at Shomer. Someone had Tikkun, right? I was trying to remember the name, the word. So someone had Tikkun there. And, I grew up in Passaic, but, still it was somewhat of a typical Tikkun. I had a little schnapps here and, some sort of, mezinus or whatever it is. And of course, once you're in like Flatbush or Borough Park, it gets a little bit more elaborate and whatnot. But I walked into shul and I'm like, I can smell Entenmann's. I smell Entenmann's here. And after davening, I went and looked, and there was a whole slew of Dunkin' Donuts and Entenmann's for the Tikkun.
I mean, it's not bad.
Not a bad spread. I'm not thumbing my nose at that. While we're on the topic of Jewish smells, but I but I was just like, oh wow. See, this is why Passaic has a little bit of superiority over Baltimore.
You'll take what you can get.
Yeah, because there's no store that sells Entenmann's.
I did forget one thing, which was the smell of a yeshiva dorm room.
Yeah, it's just there's something. It's not a specific like smell that you can you know, ascribe to something, but it's
also, I will say, I don't think every yeshiva dorm room has, like, I don't think all yeshivas have the same smell in their dorms. Like, I've been to different yeshivas and there is like a distinct smell for each yeshiva.
Compile that into like a library.
That'll go in the yeshiva reviews.
Yeah. Which we will do eventually. Yeah. Maybe. Probably. Could be. Probably not.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, end up making the WhatsApp thing, so. Yeah,
that is true. That is true. And you guys will be the first to know about it.
Whoever is in our WhatsApp thing will know. I'll be posting right after this that we just finished recording. So when you're listening to this, you'll be looking back and saying, oh, I remember when he actually posted that on WhatsApp.
What fond memories.
Whoa.
Time travel. Whoa. Here.
Yeah. So it's before the fast. Then it's before the fast. So actually, if you're listening to this on Asar B'Tevis, but you know that we said this before Asar B'Tevis, and you're transporting yourself back, you basically could break your fast.
So what we're saying is they should have an easy fast.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, if we like put this out on Tuesday, this is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's out tomorrow. By tomorrow, I mean whenever it is that you're listening to this.
Yeah, we put it out the day before. You're not late. You're not late to the party.
Yeah, we were joking. We didn't really. Oh, by the way, should we like mention the Jets or just forget about it?
Nope. Moving on. Moving up. We're on top.
You know, I think that's a good note to end the episode.
What?
I think that's a good note to end the episode.
On that note.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood of talking.
Bill Belichick. Oh wow, Joe, you're not in the mood of talking. You're 20 minutes less than the rest of us.
That's true.
Hold on, let me just back up the bus.
Run me over with it a few times. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we're on to Asar B'Tevis. I just need a Bill Belichick voice saying that we're on to Asar B'Tevis.
Oh, thank you.